faith in Jesus Christ provides us with a life that is so radically new and powerful that it can only be referred to as a rebirth.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
New birth, its bounty, and its basis. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. Seems to me that every spring the whole earth gives testimony to the reality, the truth of regeneration. That's a more theological term. It's used in the Bible to describe new birth or being born again, to be regenerated. Every spring, the whole earth gives testimony to that phenomenon of regeneration as it emerges from its wintry slumber and comes forth with fresh green vegetation from the soil. But as great a miracle as the regeneration of the natural order is, it is nothing in comparison to the stupendous miracle, the regeneration of the human spirit, which is made possible by the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The moment a man places his faith in the Son of God, the moment a man places his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and receives Him as personal Lord and Savior, his dead human spirit, we're taught in the Scriptures, we're natively dead, we're DOA, we're dead on arrival. We have a congenital spiritual disease. The human spirit is infected with the congenital spiritual disease we call sin. It makes us dead on arrival, out of touch with God, spiritually inoperative and non-functional, out of touch with God. But the moment a man places his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, his dead human spirit is impregnated with the life of God's Holy Spirit. And the Bible says he's reborn spiritually, becomes a new creature in Christ. And the great result of that is that a man is given an entirely new nature. He's given certainly a new standing, a new position before God, but he's also given a new nature. Nature is always tied to birth. And when we're reborn spiritually, we're given a new nature. Our fallen nature was supplied by our first birth. We have a fallen nature natively. And that was supplied by our first birth. And a new nature can only be supplied by a new birth. I think that was Paul's meaning in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 when he said, if any man be in Christ, that is, if any man be vitally joined to Jesus Christ through faith, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He is a new creature. Literally, he is a new creation. And he meant that faith in Jesus Christ provides us with a life that is so radically new and powerful that it can only be referred to as a rebirth. When we became Christians, we were in the truest sense reborn in the Spirit. We became new creatures in Christ. We had a whole new standing before God, and we were provided with a new nature, which enables us to live out our lives for God's glory. Every person must make certain, absolutely certain, of new birth. And then he must purpose to live out its practical implications in his life. What does it really mean to be born again? What are the practical implications of it? And am I going to live by those implications? Every person must make certain of new birth. I wonder if you've been born again. And I wonder if you're certain of it, that you're in a right relationship to God, that if you were to die today, you have the assurance you'd be ushered into the presence of God. Are you certain of that? Every person must make certain of new birth. And then purpose to live out its practical implications in their lives. It seems to me that Peter shares with us in this passage two powerful insights regarding new birth. Can you see them with me? The first is in verse 22, where we have its bounty, the bounty of new birth. And he gives to us here two great blessings. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit, he says, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And it seems to me there are two great blessings which are provided by new birth. Certainly, there are more blessings that are provided by new birth than that. But in verse 22 of 1 Peter chapter 1, there are two great blessings that are provided by new birth, according to the pen of the Apostle Peter. One, he says, is purity. We're made pure. You purified your soul in obeying the truth. And that's another way of expressing new birth, having been born again, the next verse. Purity. We're given a pure standing before God. And the second is, in the Old English, charity or love. We were purified unto unfeigned love of the brethren. And on that basis, he says, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Purity and charity. Those are two great ingredients that come down into our souls, into our lives, because of new birth. And it's a tremendous thing to have a pure standing before God and to have an enlarged capacity, an invigorated capacity to love in the way that God intended. That's the bounty of new birth. The basis of it is stated in verses 23 to 25. And in a word, the basis of it is the Word of God, the message of the Word of God and our response to that message. It's like a seed, which when planted in our hearts and blended with faith, produces life. That is the basis of our new birth we'll look at. First of all, do you notice this idea of purity? It's in the first part of verse 22. That's the first facet of bounty or of blessing which comes into our lives because we're born again, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit. I want to say four quick things about that. Number one, the substance of this purity. And it's to be found in the word purified. And number two, the sphere of it. Purified your souls. God always does a work down in the interior of a man, down in the deep inner recesses of a man. God always works from the inside out. In the soul. That's the sphere of it. The source of it. It comes from obeying the truth. Your response to the message of the truth. Your response to the message of the gospel. The stimulus to it through the Spirit. The Spirit and the Word speak to our hearts and woo us and draw us toward Christ. And then by faith we respond and we're regenerated. We're reborn in the Spirit. You notice its substance. He talks about being purified there. Seeing then you have purified your soul. And that's a very precious term. Hagnizo is the Greek word. Purified. And it describes that. This is how the word was used in the ancient world. This is what it means to be purified. And the only way we can be this pure is to be born again. To have a vital union with Jesus Christ. To be saved in the biblical sense of that term. You don't need to be afraid of any of those terms. We're not talking about wild-eyed hysteria or ecstaticism. We're not talking about existential zaps or bolts of lightning from outer space. We're talking about a simple response to the message of the gospel, believing that Jesus Christ is who he claimed to be and receiving him personally as your Lord and Savior. When you do that, you're born again. And the Bible says, number one, you're made pure. And that is a very precious and powerful word. It describes that which has been so cleansed. This is how it was used in the ancient world. It describes that which has been so cleansed that it is fit to be brought into the very presence of God and used in His service. You and I will never be fit to be brought into the very presence of God. In fact, we will be expelled from the presence of God until we are born again, until we have placed our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we're fit to be brought into the presence of God because of what God does for us through new birth. And we're fit to be used in Christian service. Even the grammar is important here. It's a perfect passive participle in the Greek New Testament. And even the grammar is important there. The passive voice means that God does the work. The subject gets acted upon. Means that God does the work. We don't save ourselves. He saves us as we respond to Him in faith. His power is released into our life as we respond to Him in faith. We've been born of God. And the perfect tense always means complete and permanent action. That's what it means. It's a perfect passive participle. Passive means that God does the work as we respond in faith. The perfect tense means completed, permanent activity. Finished action in past time with continuing results. When we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, something permanent, something complete was done in our life. New birth gives to us a new standing before God. And it gives to us a new nature, robed in Christ's righteousness and indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Undeserving, hell-bound sinners are cleansed. They're made pure. They're received into the family of God, and they remain so. God thereafter never looks at us again apart from Jesus Christ. We're robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and therein is the permanent validity and security of our salvation. We're robed in Christ's righteousness. That's the substance of this purity. You notice the sphere? Purified your souls. You know, man was created both a material and a spiritual being. I think modern man has forgotten that. He lives almost exclusively by the impulses of the material side of his nature. He's a materialist in the truest sense of the term. Modern man is. But man was created both a material and a spiritual being. You read that in Genesis, the second chapter, in verse 7. We were created out of the dust of the earth. There's the material side of our nature. And God breathed into us the breath of life. There's the spiritual side of our nature. Genesis 2 and verse 7. And the great tragedy of sin is that it teaches a man to live by the material side of his nature as opposed to the spiritual side. Sin encourages us to live out our lives on the basis of fleshly and physical impulses instead of spiritual impulses. It's God's purpose to reverse that tendency, to reverse that order. And so when we respond in simple faith to the message of the gospel, He does a work deep down in the interior of every one of us. He does a work in our soul. He always works from the inside out. He doesn't deal with the shell or the shadow of a man, but he deals with the substance of a man, what we are essentially on the inside, where we really exist. Down there he does a work when we respond. That's why Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world?" What would it profit him if he gained the whole world and lost his own soul? That's what he is essentially. That's what he is substantially. That's what he is eternally. He's a spiritual being as well as a material being. That's the sphere of God's work down in the soul. Do you notice the source? How did it come to pass that we were purified in our souls? He says it comes from obeying the truth, in obeying the truth. And that phrase, obeying the truth, is Peter's way of describing the response of the people to whom he's writing, the response of those people to the gospel message which had been preached to them. It tells us how they were saved. It tells us how they were reborn in the Spirit. It tells us how they were born again. They heard the message of the truth, and they obeyed it. They responded to it by an act of faith. And when they responded in that moment, in that instant, they were saved. They were born again. You notice he distinguishes the Christian faith from pagan error. He says, you obeyed the truth. When you became a Christian, you were responding to the truth. What Christians believe, Peter says, is the truth. What pagans believe is falsehood. And it comes on the authority of the Word of God. The Bible says the truth is in Jesus. Ephesians 4 and verse 21. Jesus could say, I am the truth. Jesus said of the Word of God, thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. God's word, the living and the written word, the Savior and the Scripture. That's the truth. And when you become vitally joined to Jesus Christ, who's the very personification and proclaimer of truth, in that moment, you're reborn.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.